Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
A little screen to Lamar. Lamar's going to get the first down, and Lamar, he might go all the way. 30. He's at the 20. He's got enough speed to go to the house.
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. Oregon versus Oregon State.
Why do you just blindly follow and support everything that your program does? And I'm sitting in my living room watching this game, having this bad feeling because I've seen this game a million times in my life.
It's Rivalry Week on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning, happy Thursday.
What is happening?
We are Shaquille O'Neal, Kim Olajuwon, and Giannis Antetokounmpo days away from your Trailblazers tipping off basketball.
I didn't know how you were going to pick. There's a lot of dudes that have worn 34.
It's a three-way tie.
A lot of 34s out there.
Three-way tie.
Who's the best Blazer to ever wear number 34?
That is a
Dale Davis? Was Dale Davis 34?
Yeah, Dale Davis. You had Kenny Carr.
Kenny Carr's a good player.
You had Isaiah Ryder.
I was thinking 34. That was the first one that popped into my mind.
J.R. Ryder had some moments.
He absolutely did.
They were brief. But
I mean, he wasn't. You know, there's some problems off the floor, and you know, there's some issues.
The great Jabari Walker.
Yes.
Even in this hellscape.
Yeah, I mean, he had multiple years in Portland where he was a pretty phenomenal player, J.R. Ryder.
I believe it was Robin Jones who was on the championship team.
How could anybody forget Robin
Jones? Big fan of Robin Jones.
The only player on that roster that didn't have his number retired.
Pretty much.
Why didn't he get 34 retired?
I think it was his only year in Portland.
I think it's J.R. Ryder.
I think I go J.R. Ryder.
When did he go from Isaiah Ryder to J.R. Ryder? Because he was Isaiah Ryder with the Wolves, and then he came here and he was J.R. Ryder.
And then didn't he go back later?
I think he did.
He was switched back to Isaiah.
He was
J.R. to Isaiah. That's a wild swing.
That is not. You're going back and forth.
Like if he was Justin Ryder,
it'd be like Muhammad Ali going back to Cassius Clay late in his career.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what are we doing here?
Justin Ryder to J.R. Ryder.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's an initial there you want involved, but Isaiah to J.R. is.
So I just Googled AI, the best player to ever wear 34.
Well, for the general?
Blazers. Yeah, for the Blazers, and they're already wrong. So, yeah, we're off
on this. Who are they saying?
The first name that popped up, the player to wear number 34 for the Trailblazers, is Bonzi Wells.
He was 6.
He was number 6. He didn't wear 34.
I'm telling you 100% because we all do it on this station.
Because I'm like, who am I forgetting that wore number 34? And then, yeah.
The Google AI bot is the worst AI bot.
My favorite thing is next to the AI overview of it saying he wore 34, there is a picture. Trailblazers top 100, a quote that shocked the world. It's a picture of Bonzi Wells literally in a number 6 jersey.
Oh, is that when he's right next flipping to off the crowd?
Probably, you know, doing something Bonzi Wells did over the years.
You remember, I forget who the player was, but you had said something about tattoos, and I think the answer was Giannis with no tattoos, and I was like, oh, and I Googled Giannis no tattoos? And it was... I'm just using it as, it was like some random player,
right,
and it generated that he had tattoos and it wasn't Giannis. And I'm like,
this doesn't help me at all.
What is wrong with this AI situation?
Thanks for the impact here, AI. You really really answered that question for me. No solutions found.
I loved me some Kenny Carr back in the day, though.
Yeah, Kenny Carr a little before my time.
Yeah, he was a rebounding machine.
I remember his kid more than I do him. His kid was a problem.
He was your prototypical undersized power forward in the NBA. He was 6'7", but was probably about 250.
I'm going to tell you something really stupid.
Yeah, what do you got?
You forgot Barkley. Did you say Barkley?
No.
No.
Was 34?
Keem, Shaq, Giannis. Wow. Above Barkley.
Whoa. Wow. Hot takes.
I don't think that's a hot take.
I mean, it's not that hot, but I think Barkley
deserves... Why would that be a hot take?
I think Barkley deserves to be in the conversation.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't.
Just dumping all over Charles Barkley.
No, he dumps on the game, so... this is going to sound really terrible,
Kenny. Terrible.
Barkley was great.
Terrible, Kenny.
But he's not above Giannis, Hakeem, and Shaq. In my mind.
Okay.
You think he's better than one of those two players?
Do we need to revisit our top 10s? Do we need a new top 10?
Well, if I went by the top 10.
Top 5 player 34s of all time?
If I went by the top 10, it would be one player, and Shaq would technically win because Hakeem was not above Shaq in my ranking.
That is true. Yeah. He was not above Shaq in my rankings either.
But Hakeem beat Shaq in a finals.
He did.
And I think he is grossly underrated in NBA history.
Massively underrated. Okay. And I also think he's one of the few guys from previous eras that in today's modern game would be just as good, if not better.
I think he'd be Jokic.
I think all those guys would have been pretty solid in the modern game, would they not?
Shaq?
I mean, Shaq.
Shaq shooting threes one-handed?
I don't know about
shooting
threes.
Pulling up.
But he, like, if you go Orlando Shaq, like, he handled the rock, and
I think he'd be
there's
awesome.
Different versions of Shaq. I'm thinking more Orlando Shaq.
I don't think.
Laker Shaq, nobody could stop. I don't care what era you're in.
Yeah.
You're not going to dump it down to him on the block.
I think he'd be great, but in this era, it's so high-driven of three.
Yes, it is.
I think he'd be great.
Who would have translated the best?
Hakeem.
Really?
He could handle the ball. He already hit top of the key jumper, so it would not have been a stretch for him to just shoot more three. I mean, that wasn't part of the game. They didn't practice.
For sure would have translated.
Hakeem had really a nice.
Oh, I'm not saying he wouldn't have translated. Yeah. Would he have translated better than Barkley?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, he's better than Barkley.
Okay. He's better than Barkley.
In his era, he was better than Barkley.
Yes.
Okay. Barkley joined his team.
Yes.
He did join his team. You're not wrong there.
Here's the other part of this, too. In a lot of ways, when you look at the numbers, now I know numbers don't speak to what we see all the time, right? But if you look at the numbers, Giannis puts up Shaq numbers.
He does.
So if you were to say, translates into this era, Giannis can't shoot. He's tried it. It doesn't work.
No, right? It's not his thing.
He shoots the midi or he attacks the paint.
Yeah.
I think if Shaq played in the era and you had Orlando Shaq, it'd be a slightly thicker version of what we're seeing.
That's exactly
with Giannis.
But, he'd be running the floor and dunking on everybody.
Yes.
With no ability to stop him because he's just going downhill.
And they'd say, shoot the three, dude. And he'd miss. And he'd shoot like 31%.
And he'd say, how about I go average 33 points per game taking it to the hoop? That's going to work just fine for me.
Right.
Do I need to shoot three pointers? I think I'll be okay without shooting three pointers.
I think the team's game would be the same. And then he'd add the 3-point shot. And
yep. I honest to God, I really think he would be doing what Jokic is doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was an
all-around
unit. And
he's more athletic than Jokic.
100% right. Now, here's the stupid part. And people are going to hear this and laugh and go, how did you guys not piece this together?
This is a great way to shoehorn NBA talk into the show every day. Brilliant move
the
on
closer,
your part.
The closer
Brilliant
it gets,
move.
The closer it gets.
34 days. I just know who the answer better be tomorrow. I already gave you my top 33. It better be my guy.
I don't know. One guy was on my top 10. One guy wasn't. We'll have to see.
One guy played for the Blazers.
Well, some guy should have played for the Blazers, but we draft Michael Thompson instead.
That is true. We kind of screwed that one up.
So here is the stupid answer to our, how did you go from that to that? How you go Isaiah to JR? He's Isaiah Ryder Jr. So his nickname was JR.
Okay.
Not Junior. Imagine if he would have gone Junior Ryder.
Junior Ryder doesn't sound as good as J.R. Ryder.
No.
J.R. Ryder has
more. That's a play-by-play guy.
Junior Ryder.
No.
That's a great shot by Junior Ryder.
J.R. Ryder. It just sounds a lot better.
It does sound a
lot
better.
Flows off the tongue much better.
Yeah. There's too much oral gymnastics I got to do there to spit that
Since
out.
We're on this topic, did you guys see what NBC's going to do for certain games next year in terms of broadcasting?
Oh, no.
Ooh,
no.
I may have missed this.
I have an NBA thing in my nuggies. You want me to get to it right now?
Since
we're talking NBA.
Really?
So I don't know. I don't think it's for every game or if it's just certain crews, but one of the first games that they're doing on Peacock and NBC, they're trying something called what is essentially a bench analyst. So it's going to be a three-person booth. Noah Eagle, I think, is the primary play-by-play guy.
Okay.
So he's going to sit center court and be alone center court, and then they're going to put an analyst on the bench of each team.
Like at the end?
Like next to the assistant coaches. And they're essentially supposed to... I'll pull up the story.
And they're going to do play-by-play with Noah Eagle?
So Noah Eagle's going to do the play-by-play, and then the two analysts are going to be the normal analysts. They're just sitting on the benches of the teams instead of sitting next to Noah Eagle.
But they're not going to say how they feel and because they're next to a coach.
Right, and they're supposed to basically provide the... So in this huddle, guys, here's what the coach was saying. Like, they're giving you inside access
to like
what's
going on. Yeah, like coaches are going to be down.
Wait. So they're basically taking away... the color analyst role and giving us two sideline reporters?
Essentially, yes. But they're going to talk throughout the game, I believe, like a normal color analyst. I don't know how it's going to work, but I don't know. Don't take shots at me. I just read this
from
yesterday.
From a production
Let me go
standpoint,
find the story, and I'll give you the specifics.
Because I sit right next to the pilot's bench for pilot's games, and Coach Legs is up and down, and I have to – he's got to watch when he – every once in a while he will turn it towards me, away from the officials, and tell us what he really thinks about that particular call.
Coaches can break through sometimes on the team play-by-play mics a little bit.
If you have a hot mic sitting right next to the assistant coaches.
So here's what it said. Let me read this. So it said, on Tuesday, NBC revealed they're going to attempt a brand new way of covering NBA action, what the network is calling, quote, on the bench. When the Cavs face the Pistons on October 27th, it'll be the debut of the concept. The streamer will position its broadcasters in totally unique ways. Noah Eagle will take the mic at traditional center court in the broadcast booth. However, he will have one analyst located near each bench of the Cavs and Pistons, respectively, by their assistant coaches. Austin Rivers will be on the Cavs bench, and Robbie Hummel will be on the Pistons sideline. And each analyst will then present analysis, insight, and reports geared towards their respective teams, including relay what they hear from the huddles and the timeouts.
Can I also comment publicly, because I think going into it, I'm going to tell you for the record, I hate the idea.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is
it's
going to
be very good. Weird.
I also think they're going to be at the scores table, not on a
That's
seat
what
next
my
to
guess would be. They're saying near the bench or near the end of the bench. Like, my guess is you're not going to be sitting directly next to one.
I still find that very odd, because how is Austin supposed to know if Robbie's going to talk or Robbie know if Austin's going to talk? And then
you're going to have producers in their ears. It's not.
I don't know how this is going to go.
I don't think it's going to go well.
I appreciate, so that's the NBC's
this
opening
NBC,
game?
I believe that's their opening game, October 27th, so, Cavs and Pistons.
NBC got the NBA back.
No, I think that's the second week.
Is that second week?
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
It just says October, the 27th Cavs and Pistons game is the first game.
Well, the Blazers' first home game is the 22nd. So
then it would be the second week of the NBA. Yes.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say, look, I'm Mr. Let's highlight all the teams in the NBA and not just keep it to two. And if you would have told me Cavs-Pistons was the opening NBC's
the Thunder's opening.
I mean, as a hoop head, you're probably excited about that, but I don't know if that's reaching the masses
here. It's Thunder-Rockets and then Lakers-Warriors, I think, is the opening doubleheader.
Yes, that sounds right.
Okay. On like the 21st or something.
that makes way more sense.
That sounds correct. That's a better doubleheader than Cavs. No offense to the Cavs and Pistons, two very good teams. You are right. Rockets-Thunders tips it off, and then it's Warriors-Lakers.
Yes, and I expect to see John Tesh at half at mid-court, bringing us back to NBC.
Fun J.R. Ryder story before we get going here.
Yeah.
1998-99, they had the Fan Fest situation. I'd never been.
Ah.
And my little brother's really good friend's dad is a diehard Blazer fan. I told the story once. He snuck us down to sit in closer seats because we used to be at the top of the arena.
It's a big deal for a kid.
We sat in Paul Allen's seat. So when the security guard came over, he goes, excuse me, sir. And he goes, oh, yeah, these are seats. He goes, no, they're not.
They're not.
Paul Allen's.
You don't look like Paul Allen. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to move.
And he goes, you're right. We got up and we left. Allen Iverson game, by the way.
Hey.
98-99 went to the Fan Fest. We got in there early. We were sitting courtside. J.R. Ryder against his own team did a turnaround fadeaway at around the three-point line in the corner. He missed. He turned. He landed on somebody, looked right at me, and went, "Oh, shh." And my mom just looked at me and went, "Oh my God, that's how they talk."
Don't repeat that word. Don't repeat that word.
Yeah. You want to tell my mom, I talk like that too?
I do that at school when I'm not at home too. That's exactly what I'm saying when I'm playing at recess.
Great moment. All time great moment.
I was a big J.R. Ryder guy.
I was too.
How could you not be? Like, I didn't have the full concept of all the off the court stuff. I just enjoyed me watching J.R. Ryder. You know, the J.O. Blazers didn't quite hit home.
He was an experience.
Yeah, it was a fun 3 years.
It was
a fun 3 years of J.R. Ryder.
He was a good player. He was a good player for 3 years. Best number 34 in Blazer history.
Dude, in Portland, he averaged 16, 19 in his last year, not so much, almost 14. But
his career ended pretty quickly after that, if I remember correctly. Like, they traded him and then they.
Three more seasons after that.
Okay.
Yeah. That last season was 10 games. That was over. So really two more seasons after that.
He faded relatively quickly. But when he came over from Minnesota, like, he was a good player in Minnesota early in his career.
He was a fun, exciting player.
He was.
In
and then coming over, you're like, hey, it's, you know, it's going to be kind of fun. He won a dunk contest.
Famously, S-talked Michael Jordan, and that did not end well for him.
Usually didn't go well for people that tried that.
No. That is one of my favorite NBA stories of all time that Garnett tells. And it wasn't even him that was trash-talking him. It was Garnett trash-talking him. On behalf of J.R. Ryder.
Oh, that's right.
And then J.R. Ryder's like, dude, what are you doing?
Shut up.
And it was Garnett's rookie year, I think.
It was.
And then they just looked at each other like, yep, I'm not going to do that again.
Mike lit him up. All right, we got a busy show today. We got two guests. Pate State University at 7:40. And Bill Riley. Big Nooner.
They got a big one this weekend.
Big Nooner for the Big 12.
They've got to be kind of pissed over there.
For the Big Nooner start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're only an hour ahead of us. Yeah. 10 a.m.?
10 a.m. start time? That's tough.
That's tough.
That's for a big game, that's not ideal.
Well, we got a Magic Hat Thursday as well and our big pack picks.
There you go.
The big pee-pee.
There you go.
There are only two games to pick because we got rivalry weekend.
We need a bounce back week. Wasn't a great week for everybody. At least for me, it wasn't. I got to go look at everybody
else. I went 2-1.
Did you go 2-1?
I went 2-1.
I know I went 0 for this
week. I faded the
game. Might have gone. Oh, maybe I was
1-2. You were 1-2.
1-2.
Yeah, we all took Oregon. That didn't work out.
All right, let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, loaded show on Thursday. We start next on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This might be what Mike McDaniel listens to on his way home tonight after he loses 37-10 on Thursday Night Football.
Anybody sneaking in an early Sprague and the Line pick today? We lay in the big wood on a Thursday night game?
What is that number at right now?
12.5, I believe. Let me check it.
Yeah, let me double check DraftKings.
There might be more Bills fans at this game. It's in Miami, right?
No, it's in Buffalo.
Oh, okay. I read it wrong then.
12.5 right now.
Then there definitely will be more Bills fans.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a few more Buffalo fans there than there will be Dolphin fans.
The over-under is 49.5.
They might score 49.5 on their own.
See, I want it to go that way.
Yeah, you do.
I don't want just some...
Miami needs a blow-up.
37-13. Well, okay. Buffalo handled them. Yeah. No, if you're gonna put the hammer down, let's go. Let's see 56-3.
Miami needs a blowout. They need to be blown out.
Blown out, sure, because it would help with them blowing up. They need to blow up.
They need a full.
They're not going anywhere. They need to blow up.
They're very interesting. There was a story on The Athletic about them and how basically they're winning, they're not winning games, and that's the tough sell here, but they internally have understood they have to restart their culture. And so there's a story, it starts out with basically at a joint practice with the Bears, two Dolphins players start fighting each other. Normally you get a team fighting the other team.
Exactly.
It was two Dolphins players fighting each other. And according to this story, the coaching staff loved it because they were recognizing that they were weeding out the
weak. Right. Get the weak kids out of here.
Well,
we're tough.
In order to win games, you have to win the game.
That is true. You can't win the game to lose the game. You can't lose the game to win the game. You got to win the game to win the game.
Yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa had a... He famously had a really bad quote this week.
He did.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Be careful, dude. Don't want you to get fired today. And he went to the podium. He was talking about, he was asked about Josh Allen and the Bills, and he said this out loud.
He's top tier. You know, if it's not with his arm, it's with his legs. You know, that dude can do literally anything he wants. So definitely different skill set for me. I can't do half of what he does when it comes to running the ball and any of that, and then with how he can just chuck a ball down the field, you know, with how far and the arm strength that he has, you know, he's supreme when it comes to that. So it's gonna be fun. Get to see him, get to play him again, and we'll see.
Do you know how much more money Josh Allen makes than Tua per year?
It's probably
on
like,
an annual salary basis.
It's like a million. Much.
Two.
Yeah.
$55 million a year for Josh Allen, $53 million for Tua.
It's the most honest thing anybody's ever just said out loud, but also you can't be the one to say this.
That's an analyst comment that anybody in the media can make that because it's 100% accurate. You can't say that as the player. The follow-up for me would have been, well, if you can only do half the stuff he does, why are you making the same amount of money as him?
I mean,
if he's making 55, does that mean we should bump you down to about 28 a year? What do you think? Because if Tua's at $28 million a year, it's not a bad contract. But him making $53 million a year waiting for that next concussion to happen, I'm terrified.
Let me ask you this question. How bad do you think that Dolphins roster is?
Overall rosters are hard to gauge. I would say pretty bad.
Okay.
I would say pretty bad.
Bottom 10, certainly in the NFL. I don't know if when we get down to the bottom five.
Okay, let me ask you a follow-up now. So you guys think bottom 10, overall awful. Now, I tell you Josh Allen is a Dolphin quarterback and they start this season. What's Miami's record right now?
I mean, they're probably the Colts could be a wagon. We might be learning that early in the season.
Josh Allen is a wagon.
I don't know. The Colts might be the best team in the NFL.
He's not the best player in the NFL right now.
I would care to bet on them or dare to bet on them being 2-0.
I would think they would have beaten for sure the Patriots.
So that roster is dog S to you two, and I mean, this is so good that they're 2-0.
I kind of think that the Bills don't have a terrible roster. That's unfair to them. It's not that bad, but there was this aspect last year going into the year. They traded the number one wide receiver. We debated that the entire offseason. Mm-hmm. How are the Bills going to survive without a no more Stephon Diggs? How will they function?
It's weird. It's almost like somebody on the show said this was a great thing for them and they'd be okay.
He went on to win the MVP, and they were first down away from potentially winning the AFC Championship game. That's the difference of an elite quarterback can make with a roster that's like, I don't look at Buffalo's defense as a top five defense in the league. I don't look at them as a top five.
Do you look at them as a top 10 unit?
Maybe, you know, maybe.
I think the Raven thing is a little misleading. I think the Ravens doing what the Ravens did is like, that's a juggernaut.
And the Ravens might do that to a lot of teams.
Exactly.
This year. Yeah, that's a fair stance. But I don't view Buffalo as a team that you could rotate and in and out different quarterbacks and still win.
Their defense is transitioning. I mean, they had, you know, forever they had those veteran safeties back there, Poyer, and
he's back now.
Is he back?
Yeah, he's back at Buffalo now.
Rapp's there. I mean, he's been there for a minute. I mean, I hear your point, but I think my counter to that is, it might not be the best roster to everybody. I think people would look at Green Bay. People would look at Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philly's
people
the first
obviously
one comes
look
up,
at Baltimore.
Yeah.
You'd look at some other teams and say, better roster. But, man, you get to like the fourth, fifth. I don't know. Like, I think Josh Allen is deserving of all the credit, all the MVP stuff he gets. I also am not going to pretend that's a Miami Dolphin roster.
No. The roster is better than Miami's. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. They're not on equal footing when it comes to top to bottom every position on the depth chart. And then they have a quarterback who's twice as good, according to the Miami Dolphins quarterback. So
I just...
good luck tonight.
If I'm a Dolphin fan, I think this is... This broke me. This comment broke me. McDaniel on the record has broken me, but I think that comment by my starting quarterback, it breaks me.
Not to mention the fact that he has a contract that pays him $53 million a year. He is one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, and that was a...
And they're stuck with that deal, man. Go look at it. You're not just moving on next year. Three more years or something
yes. on it?
Yeah. I don't think they can get out of it until 2029,
they need to,
if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Well, unless we'll you take out an insane or take on an insane amount of dead money,
we'll see
which
if
they might be willing
Buffalo
to do.
Completely breaks them and ruins them.
Crazy
tonight.
Start to maybe a just an all time finish here. Mike McDaniel won 20 of his first 33 games.
They were a story early on. He was an offensive guru.
I mean, that was a.
They went to the playoffs. They had to play with Skylar Thompson, but they went to the playoffs, I want to say, in year one.
Yeah.
And then the next year, they went and played Kansas City in 4-degree weather.
Yeah,
and it didn't go well for them because Tua can't throw a ball in the cold. And then this last year, it kind of derailed on him.
You're right, but also, I think we go look at the box score. I don't think the Chiefs were lighting up the scoreboard in that game.
Well, that was their freezing run to the Super Bowl where they didn't do anything offensively. Yeah. They were carried largely by their defense, but nobody wanted to talk about that.
Remember when they did the team conga line because they dropped 70 on the Broncos?
I do, yeah.
Talk about a diversion point of two franchises hey, this team that scored 70, they're going to hit the skid soon. This team that got 70 scored
on them. Buffalo score 70 tonight.
If they wanted to.
Yeah, I just, short week, that's always hard. Like, how sharp are you going to be?
On this one.
You going to stay away? Too big of a spread?
I'll personally gamble on the Bills. I don't think I'm springing line on this one.
I have not decided yet. It's still being kicked around up top. We'll see what I got. A couple hours here to make a call.
Does he get fired if they get blown out by 20 tonight?
I don't think 20's enough. I think it needs to be a flat out, utter embarrassment. Like, if they, like I said, if they lose 37-14,
I mean, but if you're just telling me you're waiting for the next 2 weeks to go bad, that's what I hate about the firing, thing is like Bray's having this, right? Like, well, if he gets blown out, we'll see what happens with Houston. And then that turns into like, we'll see what happens with App State.
Right. It's
like,
how long do you kick the can down the road?
Yeah,
right.
This is ultimately not going to be good.
Should have happened after week one, quite frankly, because that was. But if they have another, if it's another one like that.
Then you should have never kept him back.
I understand. Those are people that believe that too. Man. But I think it has to be gruesome for them to pull the trigger.
You want something that's really depressing? Although it is coming off of maybe the best sports weekend of the year, so it might not have hit that hard. Do you know who Monday Night Football is a week from Monday on September 29th?
There's a few primetime games that I've. Yeah, go ahead.
So not this coming Monday, but the week from Monday.
Yep.
The Monday Night Football game is the New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins.
I would have been in the room and said, why are we doing this?
Who on either side is worthy of a Monday Night Football appearance? Please, name names.
I would have been like, I object, sir. And they would have been like, no, we need this game. This is what we need.
Got to have that New York media market,
man. To
win
games, you have to win the game.
We'll see if they can win the game to win the game tonight. Can't lose the game to win the game. You got to win the game to win the game.
Give me this, and then we'll go to the Magic Hat. What would the equivalent in this weekend's college football slate be if Miami won? What's the upset equivalent?
Oh, in terms of NFL standards?
Like of you being shocked. Miami wins tonight.
I'm shocked.
I will openly be shocked if
Absolutely
they win.
Absolutely shocked.
Cougs beating the Huskies?
Apple Cup or Civil War would be two of them.
Oh.
Those are bigger upsets just because of
the Oregon State.
One still, those are two still NFL teams. Like, we can make fun of Miami being bad. Those are still NFL players.
Sure.
I think the gap is much
the
more Beavs significant.
The Beavs upsetting the Ducks would be even more shocking than Miami.
It'd be winning. The greatest upset in Oregon State history.
Yes. It would surpass the Huskies back in the 80s up in Seattle.
I'll give you two others. Michigan State beating USC Saturday night. They're nearly a 3-touchdown underdog. There's a gap between those rosters. It's not as big, I think, as Oregon and Oregon State, but it's a sizable gap.
Okay.
And then I also would kind of throw in, based on how the last couple of weeks have gone, I'd throw Florida beating Miami and Miami on there. Like, Miami finding a way to lose that game.
That line's only 7.5.
It's only 7.5. That one would still be like, wait, what? He threw five picks. They lost to South Florida. How the hell did that happen?
We'll see what happens tonight, man. Bills, Dolphins, Thursday Night Football. Let's get to the Magic Hat next on The Fan. All right, let's get to the Magic Hat.
It's the Magic Hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics, and we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his Magic Hat.
Hocus Pocus, where are you?
Now something. You see me, now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is rabbit.
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Thursday, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. A Magic Hat Thursday, a Josh Pate Thursday, a Bill Riley Thursday, and a Big Pee-Pee Thursday.
Yes, it is.
Our B1G Pac-12 picks coming up, even though they're playing each other.
Only two games. Not a lot of room to make up ground this week. And will anybody take an underdog?
It's a conference showdown.
It is. It's a Big Ten and Pac-12 showdown this weekend.
Okay, let's get to the Magic Hat.
We begin with the sad high step.
Yeah, dude. I don't know how much time we need to spend on this. Have you? So Deion. Year one without Shadur and Travis Hunter has been incredibly sad to watch. That team got absolutely annihilated by Houston last week.
They did,
on
yeah.
Friday. We actually, don't talk about that.
I had them in my notes today because they changed their starting quarterback. Just do a year three check-in on Deion and how things are going.
So no Shadur, right? So the quarterback has changed.
Yes.
So Deion's first year without Shadur, it starts with, let's get Caden Salter from Liberty.
They were in the game against Georgia Tech. It was a back-and-forth game. They had a chance to win. Came up just short.
Caden Salter doesn't play well in their next game, so they go to Julian Lewis during that game.
I believe that was against Delaware. They played an FCS team, and they put in the backup because it wasn't going great early, and then the backup played really well.
Then they went to the backup right. Because Salter started the game, so they went to Lewis. Then Lewis didn't play well, so they went to the third-string quarterback. Then the third-string quarterback started against Houston. He played pretty poorly. They went back to Salter. They're going to start Salter this weekend.
Yes, they are.
And they're 13-point home dogs to Wyoming.
Wait, what?
13-point home.
Or wait, no, 13-point favorite.
I was going to say, wait. I know things haven't gone great for Colorado. I don't know if they're a 2-touchdown underdog at home to Wyoming.
Pluses and minuses.
that happens sometimes, from time to time.
No, 13-point home dog, 7:15, 8:15 p.m. local start.
Yeah, I mean, it's a late game.
It's pretty awful.
To answer the question, though, of the Magic Hat segment, like things are going rough. And this is where I think a lot of us that questioned how long will this work or what is the, you know, how long can he maintain this, are feeling a little vindicated right now. And it goes back to something we're talking about right now with another coach. Like, Belichick's doing the same thing. Like, if you don't live, breathe, and sleep recruiting in college football, you're not going to be able to patch holes in only the transfer portal every offseason. One of the biggest guys that they've signed, there was a video of him circulating. Jordan Seaton, I believe, is his name. Remember, he was that big offensive tackle, and he committed live on First Take. It was a big deal when they got him. It was, oh my, like, number one offensive tackle in the country, good. And Oregon was one of his finalists. I remember watching the recruiting closely because of that. There was a video of him walking off the field against Houston. Like, I didn't sign up for this. This sucks. We just got our ass worked at Houston.
Yeah.
On the road, we're 1-2. We might not go to a bowl game this year. And so now you start to fear the other side of it, a team that has poached a lot of players and got a lot of guys out of the portal. If this continues to hit the side of a mountain, which I think it might the rest of the year, how many relevant players are you going to lose in the transfer portal this offseason? If you don't take it seriously 365 days a year, and I know he's been through some hell stuff, and so I'm sure it was not a fun offseason.
Recruiting-wise, it wasn't going well before
that. He did
that
in the first 2 years. He said, I'm not doing in-home visits because I'm too big of a deal. I can't do an in-home visit because then the other kids will get upset and I don't go visit high schools. Okay. Like, your name recognition and your brand power will have an impact on a small number of guys, but in terms of out-recruiting the schools that you want to try and out-recruit, good luck, buddy. All those coaches are going to work harder than you.
All right, what's the next one?
His Valhalla.
Yeah, I wanted to play. I thought this was interesting. So, something you're not watching and following in any possible way is the FIBA Europe basketball tournament.
No, I'm not following that at all.
Okay, so you haven't watched Denny Avdija.
I have not watched Denny Avdija.
Jokic.
No.
All the off-season hoops stuff we've had go on.
Was it Rangoon?
The NBA season goes on for too long to begin with. It's like, I don't need off-season hoops when the season already lasts too long. The playoffs were like 7 months long. They just ended.
God forbid you care about basketball. anyways, it's over, and Greece finished in third. They got the bronze in this thing.
Is that a big deal? Is that a little deal? Is that a surprise?
I'll let Giannis Antetokounmpo tell you.
How big
of a deal it is.
This is one of the biggest, probably accomplishment that I've ever accomplished as an athlete. I know I've won the NBA championship, but there's no feeling like representing your national team and representing 12 million people that breathe and live this national team. You know, so This is probably the greatest accomplishment I've ever accomplished so far in my life.
Dude, he won an NBA championship, and he's telling you the bronze at a FIBA Euro basketball tournament.
Yeah, not the Olympics.
You're about to get freaky at night? You think about it.
Biggest accomplishment of his career.
I take it then Greece has been really bad at basketball for a long time?
I mean, they've largely not.
So this is probably the first time that they've won a medal of some sort or gotten on the podium?
Well, they weren't picked to finish that high.
Okay. No. He was surprised.
Unreal in this
I'm guessing
tournament.
He doesn't have quite as many resources to keep that thing. It's pretty much him and his brothers and whatever else.
Yes, Thanasis on the team? He's got to be.
I'm
right?
sure.
Yeah, it's an NBA player.
He's also back to the Bucks.
Damn right he is. It's an NBA player right there.
You know, I'll say this. There's a lot of conversation and has been for too long now about patriotism.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the Giannis Antetokounmpo book by Miron Fader, and I would highly recommend it, I don't know if I've seen a better example of patriotism than him with Greece. And the reason I say that is because when you read the book, you discover that his family, who moved to Greece, he's born in Greece, he's lived in Greece, finds that they're so poor that him and his little brothers, they try to sell CDs on the streets just to make ends meet. And they largely, for most of their lives, are shouted out racist slurs at them all the time. When he was first trying to get in the NBA, Greece wanted nothing to do with him. Borderline didn't think he was a citizen and then became an MVP. And now look, all of a sudden, who's embracing it?
Who's the face of the country?
And that would be the easiest moment of any human to go through all of that.
Turn around and give you the bird, say, screw you. I'm not claiming you now.
And say, I have no pride in being a countryman from your place. And instead, he's telling you, I just finished third in a basketball tournament that nobody cares about.
This is the biggest deal.
And it's
career.
Bigger than me winning an NBA championship, which is how we gauge most of these guys' careers in that sport. To me, I just like that. It doesn't have to be a big deal. You don't have to watch it. But to me, him saying that, knowing the backstory and his history of that country, it's remarkable.
Yeah, the fact that you could go that high when everybody went so low for your entire life.
Your entire country went low on you,
and you could still turn around and embrace them. I think these guys who get to play for their country, I can't even imagine the pride that you would feel doing something like that, so I totally get why it's a huge deal for them, and that's awesome. Giannis is easily one of the most likable athletes in all of professional sports, not just the NBA, and that's pretty powerful to say it's the biggest thing that's happened in your career.
More Magic Hat around the corner next on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you see me, now you don't.
It's magic.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
All right, welcome back in. We got some local news we'll get to coming up at 7. A college football question. Should this be under more consideration in college football? I find a narrative very interesting because I don't know how many teams this works for.
Hmm.
So we'll get to that at 7:15. It's going to be a short 7:30 because it's a Pate State University Thursday.
Yes.
But let's get back into the Magic Hat.
Will he or won't he?
Ah, this is a quick one, and I know how Dirt's going to react. So yesterday I was working out in Arnie's. That's my home gym.
Your home gym.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, greatest body of all time.
Arnold!
And I was following along. The Premier League is back.
Ah.
I have a team.
You have a Premier League team.
I got a team.
Get out of here.
I got a team.
Get
I'm going to follow
here.
A team.
There's no chance this happens.
I'm going to buy some gear from this team.
I'm I setting myself.
I texted Harris what team to pick. I said, who's the Carolina Panthers of the Premier League? I want a team that's not great, but I want a team that has a little bit of a good history.
Sure.
But nobody's thinking about them right now. And he gave me four options. And I chose one.
You chose a team?
Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest.
You're a Nottingham Forest fan, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to check in on this in 6 weeks. I'm going to set a reminder on my phone.
At
check
your
in
ass
on
you will.
What is Nottingham's record in 6 weeks?
You're definitely going to need the Peacock now.
Well, I already, yeah, I've got okay. the Peacock.
They play
yeah,
at like 5 o'clock in the morning on the weekend, right?
They
Isn't
do.
That basically it?
Well,
when
yesterday
they,
were playing in the afternoon.
Oh, were they playing? They play weekday games?
Going on.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's nighttime over there.
No, touche.
Night games.
Touche. You got to have your weeknight game.
Early Sunday morning
Thursday
games.
Thursday night football, basically. Yeah. Football, if you will. No chance this happens.
You think I'm going to stop it?
No chance.
Not a chance at hell.
Not a chance at hell. The Blazers tip off in a month.
Yep.
Basically,
yep.
The NBA is back in a month. You are a diehard NBA fan. You will be watching that. And NFL is every Sunday, Monday, Thursday.
Okay.
And then around Thanksgiving, more days, Christmas, you get that. College football is every week. No chance at hell.
Nottingham
they're
Forest.
They're right there with Man U in the table right
I'm just
now.
Saying, oh, like,
yeah. They got to check your tables going into the year.
They're not at the bottom. But they're kind of in that mid to, you know, maybe moving up a little bit.
I mean, I'm happy for all the soccer pros. Did the season just kick off, I'm assuming?
Yeah, about four games in.
Four games in.
Okay. It started middle of August.
Happy European soccer.
Let's see who they
league
have.
To everybody.
No Saturday,
chance you follow this. Zero.
Saturday, they get Burnley.
This is like me 10 years ago being like, you know what? I'm going to start getting into boxing, man. I want to be a boxing fan. I'm going to start following this.
Well, here you go. 7 a.m.
much boxing
on the Peacock.
I
Yep.
You don't have to suffer through college football pregame shows if you
I
don't
know,
want
dude.
To.
That's the thing
and
is I don't
done,
watch the pregame
you're done
shows.
Done at 9.
Yeah.
It's usually the time of the day, though, when you're getting stuff done. So now before you sit on your couch and watch 10 hours of football, you want to sit on your couch and watch 2 hours of soccer?
Well, and I got a soccer match on Saturday,
exactly.
too, the little one.
There's no chance you're going to watch right. any
you
soccer.
Doubt. You doubt.
I will doubt.
Okay.
I'm going to check on the
you
names.
You can hit
of,
me randomly with
okay,
it.
Random, okay. Random hit up on Nottingham Forest.
I'm trying to learn. You can quiz me on names. I might not nail that, but I will tell you where they're at, how they've been doing.
Do they have cool gear at least?
They actually do.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sick little tree
well,
logo.
First thing we got to get you to do is say Nottingham.
Nottingham, yeah.
There
Nottingham
you go.
Forest.
Not Nottingham.
Well, I mean, in America, Nottingham. I'm saying
it's
it the right way.
We live in America.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Nottingham.
Speaking of that, still doubting?
Those actually are pretty cool jerseys.
Yeah, we got Ryder Cup tomorrow.
We do, yeah. The Ryder Cup tees off tomorrow. Talk right. about things that I will be watching.
You guys still...
It actually doesn't tee off
no,
tomorrow. It tees off a week.
Week
from Friday.
Oh, I wrote that
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, you're a week ahead.
Yeah, either way.
You said it, and I was like, yeah, it does. And I was like, wait a minute. No,
no
it's the same weekend at Oregon Penn State.
Well, I wrote it yesterday, right? And then this morning, we saw our good friend Terry Boyd at KGON, and he's talking to us in Dirt about stuff, and Dirt said tomorrow. And I was like, oh, okay, I was right.
Well, I knew it teed off on a Friday, and I just, you know,
no,
it's early.
It's next week.
Dates
but
are all
you guys still
convoluted.
Doubting? We have no chance?
I mean, no chance is too strong, but I am still doubting,
I'm going to bet America.
Go for it. You're not getting great odds there because they're the favorite.
Unfortunately, Scottie Scheffler can't play two matches in the same session because he's on fire. And
a lot of concern about Xander Schauffele right now.
People worried about the X-Man coming in.
The X-Man.
The X-Man's not going to bring it. The
Little
guy
concern.
Who stole Twitter's logo or X's logo.
Well, the other problem is Bryson going to play in alternate shots because who can play with him?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put him in alternate shot matches.
I wouldn't want to do
it. So you guys
him.
Are doubting.
I absolutely am doubting,
It's
yeah.
far more difficult for Keegan than it is for Luke Donald,
but
who's got 11 of the 12 dudes that he had last time when they won.
When was the last time the road team won?
I think it was Europe, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay. See if I can find that. That's the main thing you got going in the favor of the Americans is that, 2012 is the last time Team Europe won on the road. So America hasn't won in Europe in forever. And Europe hasn't won in America since 20. It's been over a decade. So that's the biggest argument you have for Team USA in betting them.
Last one.
Jim Harbaugh's pants.
So we're not going to have enough time for this, but I am telling you, if you read anything or take anything away from today's show, please.
That's my guy!
Please try to go read this Jim Harbaugh story on The Athletic. It's basically like seven writers who just share all of these gym. Like, Jim Harbaugh is as authentic as it comes. He is who he is.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody. And it's all these riders sharing different experiences they've had with him. One story, for example, is when he was the Niners coach. They were in a hotel. They were all eating. All of a sudden, offensive lineman Adam Snyder feels choking. And he's like, can't breathe. He can't even drink water. And his teammates are, and then there's a big commotion.
He's freaking out, yeah.
They reportedly say Harbaugh stands up, throws his chair out, pushes through everybody, gets up to Snyder, and punches his back so hard that one guy said I could hear it from across the room. Snyder then just goes, chokes it out, spits it, and Harbaugh just casually went back to his table, grabbed his chair, sat down, started eating, and brought the conversation back to where it was when he left. Didn't even acknowledge what he did.
That sounds exactly like Jim Harbaugh.
He had another one that I'll share here where he was, he went to Europe. They went to Europe. They went to Rome. With Michigan.
Yeah, I remember that with Michigan.
Said he doesn't wait in lines. He will always cut lines and find ways to get in front of people in lines. He doesn't believe in lines. And he basically, on the flight to Rome, didn't sleep a single minute. Stayed awake the entire time, got off. The writer that went with them on the trip was noting this. And he's like, yeah, man, I thought for sure. They got there in the early morning. Everybody else went and crashed at the hotel for a few hours. Not Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh's in Rome, baby.
He's one of one. I'm going to keep going.
Need some pasta and a glass of wine. Let's go.
Dude, he just started walking around Rome. He's looking around. He then wakes his team up. They then go on a big excursion. All the Europeans see this team have no idea who he is or who they are. They assume they're a soccer club. So he leans into it. He's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, we play football. He met the Pope. Yeah. It was the greatest moment of his life.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool moment for a Harbaugh.
But the writer just acknowledges it was like, I think he said it was 20 straight hours of just uninterrupted Harbaugh. Not a single ounce of sleep for
He's
him.
He's one of my favorite characters in the history of sports. And you know, you don't need any more evidence than the videos that they release after they win a game. And one of the first things that he makes his team do is walk around and give everybody a high five. High fives. You go give a high five. And they all walk around and high five each other in the locker before he starts his pregame speech or his postgame speech.
He also stood next to too close to a heating fan. You know, when they was on the sidelines when it's really
right.
cold.
Right.
And he had just switched from his traditional khaki to blue Lululemon. And so he's famously giving a speech. He's too close to the flame.
Oh, he caught on fire.
And somebody turns to him from a local TV station and points out, hey, coach, your pants are on fire. He puts out the fire and he turns and he goes, ah, man, these are expensive pants.
That they are. Lululemon
pants.
Didn't
even care that he was on fire.
Yeah, those are expensive pants. You don't want those things to burn up. Did you ever buy a pair of Lululemon pants?
I haven't,
actually.
They
add up quickly. It's very expensive.
It's just a great Jim Harbaugh piece. It really is. There's a story of Bruce Feldman had gone to go visit him because he knew Tom Crean. He wrote a recruiting book. And Tom Crean says, you need to go talk to my brother-in-law, Jim Harbaugh. So he puts him in touch. He goes to Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh goes, who are you? And he goes, well, I was here sent by Tom Crean. Feldman says Harbaugh gave him a look as if he had never heard his name in his life. He said he saw Jim Harbaugh only one time at his journey at Stanford. And it was when Bruce Feldman was wandering around. Harbaugh came up to him and goes, hey, man, if you're interested, we got a lot of peanut butter. And he walked away. That's all he said.
I mean, I want people to tell me when there's peanut butter around. That's my kind of guy right there.
You got a lot of peanut
butter in the kitchen? Let's go. I'm going to go make a sandwich, dip some apples in it. I'm feeling good.
I just will always read a Jim Harbaugh story.
Every time, dude. He is one of the most unique characters we've ever had. And I think in an era in which a lot of people pretend to be something that they're not, that's always been the main calling card of Jim Harbaugh. He is weird. He is strange. He is odd, whatever descriptor you want to use, but he is himself.
Last one, and we're against it. I know. I'm sorry, Swag. They got off the bus in high school for a basketball game. The opposing fan bases were rabid. Guy says in retelling the story, I got off the bus and felt like I was going to piss my pants. And then Jim came behind me and started laughing loudly at them. And that was all he did.
Just laugh and walk away.
Ended up getting in a fight in the gym.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the second hour. Good local story or not so great local story? Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.